is brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury.
It is the NBA Finals. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Knicks beat the Hawks, and we're going to talk about this series and what our buddy from Sirius XM Radio, NBA Sirius XM, Brian Geltzahler, had to say to us about it. But before we do, Mike and I were just talking about some other NFL things, guys. We know the Falcons have another OTA session coming up next week, and then they got mandatory mini camp right in the middle of June, and then they're done until training camp. And so you're starting to get updates on certain players around the league. And you just said, hey, I just saw this update on Micah Parsons.
Yeah, Sporting News had the story that they thought that maybe he'd be on the PUP list. Now the New York Post Sports Department has a tweet that says, Packers are going to miss Micah Parsons until maybe mid-October. He had a second knee procedure and apparently, I guess, a cleanup on whatever went on with the meniscus. And he basically says, hey, it's 9 months from the time you had it done. He says, we have a pretty strong 9 month rule, especially if you had other things that had to get fixed up. This is Micah Parsons speaking. So it could be mid October at best for the Packers. And you and I were just saying off the air at the time, I thought, you know, Jerry, what are you doing? Yeah. And like, no one can foresee a freak injury, especially playing on natural turf. But either way, Packers now, big question mark about Micah Parsons.
Yeah. And you're right. I mean, he doesn't come off the PUP list and immediately is ready to play. So right. To your point, it may be a couple more weeks after that. All right. Look, I'm not hyping this up. Hype me up.
You can hype it all you want.
I think because of the fact that it's the Knicks, okay, they have star power too. And the Spurs, despite what it used to be, and it was boring, there's no doubt, right? The Spurs were one of the best teams in the league, but it was the big fundamental, as Shaq says, yeah. And it was just like, okay, they're
going to win. Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker, yeah. And it, like, rinse, repeat. Right? You know, guys off the bench, like, who's our buddy? It's like all the rings where he goes I'll think of it in just a second. But anyway, they always had good bench players.
They did. No, they had a solid roster. But this is different because of the Wimby effect. So just to give you a heads
Robert
up.
Robert Horry.
Oh, yeah, Robert Horry with the rings. Yeah. They had a ton of guys over the years that helped them win championships. But Knicks versus Wimby, guys, and understand the Western Conference Finals had huge ratings. Comparable to last year's NBA Finals. So now you put the team that won in the Western Conference into the finals, taking on the Knicks, and people are saying this is the most anticipated NBA Finals since the LeBron versus Steph Curry days. Now, you're going back a decade, right?
Right, when that 2015, started. Right? That's when Draymond got teed up and they blew the 3-1 lead.
Correct. So let's talk about what to expect, because Wimby is really the issue, right? You go, well, how do you slow down this guy? How do you try to play him? And our buddy Brian Geltzahler said, look, it's not the offense. It's the defense that New York's going to have to be concerned about.
Well, let's start with this. I think the Knicks' concerns regarding Victor Wembanyama have less to do with what he does on the offensive end of the floor and more what he does on the defensive end of the floor. The one thing they have to be concerned with in this series is how are they going to keep Victor Wembanyama on the Spurs' defensive end of the floor away from Jalen Brunson. That's what the Knicks have to worry about, because in so many scenarios, it worked for the Knicks to run a Brunson Towns two-man game. I don't think that's going to work here, because ultimately, if you look what Victor Wembanyama did to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in the Oklahoma City series, SGA and Jalen Brunson are probably the players in the NBA. And he took SGA out of his rhythm in mid-range, mostly because he was a shadow. Everywhere that SGA went, Wembanyama was right behind the defender, making him have to change normal mid-range shots that he takes.
Lowest odds, by the way, in Vegas have it at 6 games. So if you want to bet where the series goes, basically you're going to make money if you bet it goes in 4 games. I don't think anyone sees that being a sweep. That's why the odds are so high. The money line, Spurs are -188 right now. Knicks are +158. So almost 2-1 for the Spurs in Vegas's mind. So you're going to you're gonna have to give to get, because the Spurs, I think, and you and I were going round and round on this. He brings up a great point. We were even talking about Wemby and how Brunson and Kat basically have to space, especially when they're on the offensive side for the Knicks, because they just present so many matchups. How they assign Wemby in this thing?
No, it's valid, man. And look, I think you learn things as this series goes along. We learn things, right? As we saw the Hawks and the Knicks, they adjusted. The adjustment that they made in our series, for you hoops heads out there, has gotten them here. The adjustment was, we're going to run the offense through Karl-Anthony Towns, and we're going to let Brunson run around and do other things. And ever since they beat us, they've been playing this way. And it's taken pressure off of Brunson, even though he's still scoring, Mike, but Towns has been the catalyst. That's what Brian Geltzow is talking about. Right. What about Mitchell Robinson? Now, you said the broken hand.
No, again, it was apparently Brian Windhorst can add orthopedist to his list of things he does, also being an aficionado on LeBron. But no, it started on ESPN this morning that they said the pinky, the bone, it's a boxer hand. Like, if you ever, like, hit a heavy bag, you didn't tape up properly, and you basically break them. He's saying it's more than just a pinky. The Knicks are saying, no, it's just a pinky. But a lot of people now are saying, what kind of feel? First of all, he can't shoot a jump shot. We know that. His free throw shooting is abysmal. But how does it affect him as far as we talked with Brian about being physical and chipping at Wemby?
Yeah, his fifth metacarpal is what the injury is. He already had surgery. Here's Brian on Mitchell Robinson.
Well, he's going to be, to answer your second part of your question, he's going to be very, very involved. And I think this hand injury has been a little bit overblown in the respect that what exactly do you need Mitchell Robinson to do out there? Well, you need him to play defense. He's going to be able to do that, whether the hand's good or not. You need him to be able to defensive rebound and offensive rebound. And you need him to be able to catch lobs and be able to handle dribble handoffs. I don't think it's going to be an issue rebounding or catching lobs. I think, dribble handoff-wise, if I'm San Antonio, I'm taking a shot at that hand every time he does a dribble handoff to test it a little bit and see if I can send him to the sidelines. The other thing is this, and not that he was shooting free throws well in the first place, but having an injured pinky on his right hand makes him that much worse a free throw shooter. But what's been interesting about the hack-a-mitch strategy is the Knicks have baited other teams with it. They certainly did that to the Cavs, where they put Mitchell Robinson out there. They were willing to live early in a quarter with the fouling of Mitchell Robinson and Robinson missing all his free throws just to get the other team in a penalty. Then they sit Robinson down, play aggressive going to the basket, and every time there's a touch foul, Knicks are shooting two free throws. So the Knicks have kind of used the hack of Mitch to work it back in their favor. Wouldn't surprise me if they do that all over again. Again, I think Robinson's going to be the same factor he would have been otherwise, whether the pinky's injured or not.
So that's Mitchell Robinson. Again, they have enough bigs. I don't know if they can affect Wemby, but look, they beat him earlier in the season, guys, and I know the Spurs are a different team. I do like the Spurs to win this series, but I will say they have enough bigs, Mike, to affect Wemby and run guys out there at him.
Right. Now, as you said, Cat's going to be, just like they figured out, Mike Brown figured out that Cat had to be the guy because they went after Jalen Brunson. Brunson's going to get his, but it's going to be curious to see how he fits in that mix. What about De'Aaron Fox? Isn't it time for him to kind of step up a little bit?
Yeah, it's a good point because he's been injured. He is probably one of the most playoff experienced guys his days with the Kings before he got to the Spurs. I would tell you if he was healthy, and I don't think he's been this entire playoff, I think this would be Spurs all day. But because what happens, Mike, is De'Aaron Fox is on the bench and Stephon Castro has to play point. He had a ton of turnovers in the first couple of games against OKC. That's not what he does.
Right. So, and Josh Hart could get involved there and try to,
if Fox is out there, it takes pressure off of Castro to have to deal with that. So I don't know, man. I'm curious to see what he does in this series. But he's healthier than he's been the last few series, that's
again,
for sure.
Both teams, that's why when we talked about, bringing back to the Hawks, and we'll start to look, before you know it, guys, it'll be time for the draft and everything else, and free agency. But we don't have an Ananobi. Not everybody has a guy like that, And Bridges got heat for missing a bunch of shots in the Hawks series, but he's been a hell of a lot better since. But Ananobi, to me, is probably the X factor. In addition, Cat's obvious, but I like Ananobi in his game.
I do, too. And this is why. It's going to be fascinating to see how this shakes out. And the other part of this is, you got the Villanova boys, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, New York is really that. They went and signed all of Brunson's boys.
Right. Vincenzo got the gate. Everyone else got the step.
Yeah, and so now they have a chance to not only capture the moment as they did in college, but also, a chance to do it at the NBA level. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. One other thing we want you to hear, and that's the Spurs supporting cast. Mike just brought up De'Aaron Fox. There are a ton of guys that will play a role if the Spurs end up winning this. It's not just going to be Wemby. It's going to be all of the other guys that people are not talking about that has gotten up to this point. Brian Geltzow talked about it.
So you're 100% right about that. But let's start. Let's go through these guys one at a time. All right. First of all, I'm going to tell you right now with De'Aaron Fox, I think Mikal Bridges is going to guard him. I think Mikal Bridges is going to do a really, really good job on him. And especially with the fact that we know he's not 100%, I don't see him being a major factor in the series. Castle's a different story because I know we've heard a lot of talk about OG Anunoby spending time guarding Victor Wembanyama. And he will spend a little bit of time guarding Victor Wembanyama. He's going to have to guard Castle. Castle, outside the first two games with 20 turnovers without Fox in there, for the Spurs. Casa was a handful for OKC. Mm-hmm. And when I say a handful, you're talking about really strong defensive players, guys like Dort and Cason Wallace, and to a lesser extent Caruso, who's a very good defensive player, but not as strong as those other two guys. Casa threw those guys around like they were ragdolls. Mm. Goes where he wants, when he wants. The only guy in the Knicks roster that can keep him from doing that is OG Anunoby. And I think you'll see Anunoby spend a lot of time on Castle in this series. The Knicks are not sleeping on the impact Castle can have in this series because they just saw what he did to OKC. Vassell, listen, Vassell is the Knicks, I think, will handle Vassell okay because they're going to end up most likely with Josh Hart guarding him, and I think that's a good matchup for New York. The key guy you just mentioned is Champagne. Julian Champagne, because what's the Knicks need a place to hide Jalen Brunson. They're going to choose to hide Brunson on Champagne, in my opinion, just because Champagne's less of a threat off the dribble and just pretty much a catch-and-shoot guy. And I think what you're going to see from San Antonio early on is there's going to be some Brunson hunting going on. There's no doubt. And when they Brunson hunt, Champagne's going to be the guy that's going to be put in a lot of pick-and-roll action, a lot of pick-and-pop action, and they're going to look to see if they can get him open threes or get Brunson switched onto the ball, which is something that the San Antonio would like very much, that we saw your guys in Atlanta do well early in that series. So they're going to test this. The Knicks, since game four of the Atlanta series, have not switched a ton. They went away from doing a lot of switching. In this series, San Antonio is going to want to get them back to doing some switching. And if they're not, they will look to see if they can use Champagne as well and as much as they can to take advantage of Jalen Brunson's defensive deficiencies. So it's going to be a very, very interesting chess match to see how these guys match up. But I think early on in the series, the guy that the Knicks choose to hide Brunson on, and I think it will be Champagne, you're going to see that guy be featured a whole lot by San Antonio.
Mm. Hide him. Because yes. He doesn't play defense like that.
And it's something we talked about. And it's funny, you know, here's a guy that's considered one of the best point guards. The team's making a historic run. And then we had guys when we talked about, you know, when they moved on from Trey. Now, again, only time will tell how we move in the draft and free agency and if this team can be better without Trey. But that's where the league is trending, to your point.
Yeah.
And Brunson's more physical than Trey.
He is. No, he's thicker. He's got a bigger, thicker body than Trey.
We'll be talking about it with you guys tomorrow on the show. We'll see what happens in game one. We'll be talking plenty of Braves as well. More on the Congress and the testimony. By the way, it wasn't just Nick Saban. Notre Dame's AD was there. There were other people testifying, like trying to get the support of other Congress folks to say, hey, we need your help to do this. And good. Again, if they get it, then how fast are we talking about a bipartisan bill being passed? It's not going to happen this season.
Well, it is funny because the first thing you hear about this, it's a big giant glob of clay or stone. You're going to shape it. You're going to knock some off here, knock some off there. But it is kind of interesting. With this giant lump boof of a bill, two people said no, SEC and Big Ten. Nope, 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 nope.
They don't want it.
Like Lego Batman. Nope, 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 nope. So we'll see. I mean, the two biggest.
Why? Because they don't want to share?
Because they don't want to give up the high ground. They got the loot, you know? Other than, you know, Texas Tech and the Big 12, everybody else has got the money, honey.
Yeah.
All right, man, we got to get out of here. Turtle's got a full show for you. Day-Day, let's clear our throat. Oh. Thanks to all of our guests today online at Odyssey.com. Make sure you get all of our content, guys. Subscribe to Dukes and Bell. You won't miss anything. All the breaking news, and of course,
don't cost nothing.
It doesn't. And you'll hear everything on 92.9 The Game as well. So make sure you do that. Hey, Day-Day, great job behind the glass. Big O's been off this week. He's doing all the things. Turtle's got a full show for you. Stay tuned, and we'll see what the Braves do tonight, man. We'll be talking about that and much more tomorrow with you guys right here starting at 2 o'clock. All right, Mike Bell, let's get out of here, man. Clear your throat.
Hey, man, the U.S. Open at Shinnecock starts in 2 weeks from Thursday. And you might remember from years ago where they had to water the greens in between the rounds because balls were rolling off hills and it was awful. Well, Scottie Scheffler, what's going on with Scottie Scheffler? He had a chance to hit a practice round. First time he'd ever been there. He goes, this is really hard. He was saying, surprised by the width of the fairways, but he said the greens and the way the greens roll and the shape of the greens, he said it's going to be a really, really big challenge. This might be one of those, like, yes, like Chinese water torture U.S. Opens where over par wins it.
I don't like those.
Nobody likes it except for the guys at the USGA.
It is huge. It's a huge statement about where Caleb Williams is. He's on the cover of Madden 27, EA Sports. It's in the game. Congratulations. But is he going to take the jump? A lot of people think he is. I like the cover. I'm glad he's on it. I know the game is going to be great. But sometimes, Mike, when you start to get all this pub, you regress.
Ruh-roh.
We'll see what happens with Caleb Williams. Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you're the sick son of a biscuit who's going to cook fish in the microwave at work.
Crying in West, that was too emotional.